to the Nerdentials Podcast, starring your hosts, Joe Tweedy, Matthew Johnson, Nick Thomas, and Lynn Dudgeon.
Welcome to Nerdentials, your weekly dose of the nerdy essentials covering film, TV, video games, and comic books. Guys, it's been more than a minute. I'm your host, Joe Tweeden, and co-hosting this evening with me is my cohorts, Nick Thomas.
Thank you.
And the Lynn Dudgeon.
Whoop, 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 whoop. That's me.
Hell yeah. Boys, brought in beautifully. It has been a flipping minute. Life, things have happened. We needed a brief break. Listeners, we're sorry we didn't announce it over social media. I do have an episode coming out before this one, so it won't seem like we've been gone that long after you hear this one. Anyway, the timey wimey wibbly wobbly. We're back.
Nerdentials.
Yeah, Nerdentials is back, boys. How have you been, at least this week? Let's not recap the last 3 months. How have you been this week? In general, broad terms. Nick?
Go for it, Nick.
Been all right. We're week 8 of term for what? School.
Oh, yeah, you and school, sir. That's your signature now. No, I'm just messing with you, dude.
Hey, kids, go to school.
Nick is always in school, even 3 months ago.
Yeah, and I'm going to be taking the summer off, so I'm going to have a lot more time to try to make some more content for us, which is going to be fantastic. I decided
let's not make any promises, Nick. We're really bad at that.
I step back from work and stuff like that so I can focus on my family, focus on school, because I had a little bit of a medical scare. So
he's doing fine, guys. Just a couple things he had to check into.
Yeah.
Lynn. What's the follow-up to that? I heard it's been a lot of work.
Let's see. A week to re-download Destiny 2 on Xbox. Literally.
But it's not because Xbox is slow. It's because...
No.
Oh, guys,
the internet Nevada is rubbish.
You know why this is funny, Lynn? Your statement about this is funny is because, guys, listeners, you'll have just learned in our previous episode that I've been so late to getting uploaded. talks about us excited to get Lynn an Xbox. Like, that's how old the episode was. It's been more over a month ago. And we were talking in the episode about how excited we are to get Lynn an Xbox because Nick is upgrading his and going to send you his old shit. And guess what, guys? That old shit croaked.
Wicked flashbacks.
Wicked flashbacks.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault, bro. It's just an old machine. So, guys, the power strip went out at first.
But.
And then the fan went out. Okay, go on, Lynn. You tell the story.
It was the capacitors in the power brick. And then when those blew, I am assuming, due to those going, that they sent an overcurrent through the fan and it killed the fan. So
I must iterate. That was a first generation Xbox One with the original power brick. So it hung in there for a while.
Just so everyone knows. Yeah.
And I would like to warn all those out there that if you do have your original power brick, I would recommend upgrading because the original power bricks have dry capacitors in them. And dry capacitors have a lifespan. I know a lot of people don't understand this, but liquid capacitors are better because they have a better cooling rate. Dry capacitors do not. That is why transformers on power lines have a mineral oil in them because they have a better cooling rate. So
The more you know. Nick.
Upgrade your power brick. I only know this because a lot of the equipment that I work with, because I am an electrical, deal with capacitors, and most of them have liquid capacitors. Anything that is old and does have a dry capacitor to it is within a lifespan, and you can almost down to the hour get it when that capacitor is going to fail. So I would recommend upgrading your power brick if you do have the capability to.
Guys, that's right. We are also in part an educational program in addition to news and pop culture heat. But other than that, Lynn, hey, you've finangled yourself a fancy new fan and gotten the Xbox running, at least. And then you re-downloaded Destiny, which, because of your unbelievably snail mail pacing internet, has taken you a full week to download Destiny 2 all over again.
Exactly. And that was just the base game, no expansions. It took a fucking week.
So Lynn, are you in a position to show our viewers how your Frankenbox is running?
We need to show this. If you guys real quick. Listeners at home, go to YouTube.
Forewarning, it is pretty ghetto, but it works.
I just got to say, though, Ingenuity.
Yep. That's pretty smooth there. The switch in the background also helps. It diverts fan energy back towards the Xbox. So.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Exactly. And honestly, I have to say that the that little clip I'm going to go over there, which was maybe $3 or $4 from Walmart, it is very efficient and it cools the Xbox quite well.
Nice.
I would recommend that you do clear the dust out if it has been a long time since you've ever thought about dust. But I know when I was initially troubleshooting my issue, when I vacuumed it, I took a vacuum to it and I sucked all the dust out of it.
That's actually smart. Yeah.
Robin's vacuum actually filled up the whole canister off of it. So it's a good idea to clear off.
Off the Xbox? What?
Off the Xbox, yeah.
I took a can of air to that before I sent it to you.
Dude, okay, with a can of air, you got to think, what are you doing to it? You're blowing the air into the Xbox, so you're pushing dust back in.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, air cans is a long, long traditional cleaning method, but it's one of the worst methods you could do to an enclosed computer.
You realize I'm a computer technician, right?
I'm not knocking you at all.
Your ability to understand capacitors and electrodes has nothing to do with your cleanliness of dust.
When I started working for this place, they told me to carry a shop vac in my truck, and I was like, well, why would I carry a shop vac? I got an air compressor on my truck. I'll just blow it out. And they go, when you blow it out, you got to think, it's like pressure washing a unit. So when you blow it, it's going to spread out to somewhere else. When you suck it, you're containing it.
So what you're saying for our viewers, it's always better to suck than blow.
It's always better to swallow than blow, but yeah.
We are explicit for a reason, folks. Yep. Well, guys, that is our personal update. This is going to be a little bit shorter this week. We are short one Matthew Johnson, our fourth host. If you guys are new with us, new to the podcast, just a quick little housekeeping. If you want to see all our content, videos, articles, other crazy nerdy shenanigans, just go to this one fantastic place called nerdentialsmedia.com. That's right, folks. The .com is true. But on a quick hit, if you don't want to invest a whole lot of time in a single website, you could just hit us up on Twitter or Facebook under the same name, at Nerdentials.
You can also find a lot of our same stuff on YouTube. We do have a channel on there.
Yes. If you just look up Nerdentials on YouTube, you will find 100% of all our videos, at least.
Everything from trailer reviews to movie reviews.
The podcast itself is in video form, guys.
Let's plays.
If you want to see our ugly mugs, you can go there. But that's it, guys. And you can always, with questions, comments, literally, guys, we want to get a little more, have a little bit more of a back and forth with people listening here. If you guys want to ask our opinions on something, just shoot us an email or on Twitter. But the email is nerdentials@gmail.com if you guys want to have a little back and forth with us.
Or even better, if I'm right, on our webpage, we actually have a link for our Discord channel.
And yes, every video and podcast, including this podcast right now that you guys are listening to, in the notes, there is a link you can click on that takes you to our little chat, our little online chat room full of categories and other nerds called Discord. Just go there.
This thing is always blown up on us.
On our phones. Oh, cool. We're on it all the time. So, all right, guys. Hey, let's get this thing going. It's going to be a little bit shorter. We've got a couple reviews and a little bit of news and speculation on stuff coming up. And guys, don't worry. We've got a Avengers Endgame spoiler cast coming, but we want all four of the nerds here for that.
And we wanted to definitely give it time, so we did not actually spoil it for anyone. So we have given you plenty and ample time to watch the movie.
Yeah, it's four.
And if you haven't, it's your own fault.
It's 4 weeks out now from the time that the movie came out at the time of this recording. So this will be going up on the fifth week that the movie has been out. So, and guys, quick side note, it's made $2.6 billion in the box office currently. It's dethroned the Titanic. It's right behind Avatar for highest grossing film of all time. We'll break down those details in the spoiler cast, but I'm just saying, it's made that much dough. If you haven't seen it, too bad. That's going to be your warning right now, and we'll give you a warning at the beginning of the spoiler cast, of course. But anyway, guys, that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. Let's jump into at least movies and TV tonight. We got a few things to chat about. So, guys, let's roll into Movie Matters.
Movie Matters.
Guys.
Roll that beautiful footage.
Roll
Welcome
that
to Movie
beautiful
Matters.
Bean footage. Welcome to Movie Matters. So, guys, I haven't seen any films lately, but I have heard one or two of us have this week. Lynn, would you like to go first?
I haven't actually seen any movies due to the fact that I've been working.
Oh,
but
snap.
I've seen a couple trailers, one of which would make one of our members cringe and run away.
Ooh. I've seen this too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I
can't place it.
The it?
It seems a little vague that you say it like that. But I do know who would be upset, and he's not here tonight. So,
he's not here tonight. But I will say,
believe it or not, soulless gingers do get scared.
That if you are into, like, the Metalocalypse, the G-MILF, this is the trailer for you. The GILF.
No. Anyone that has seen the trailer of what we're talking about will instantly cringe at what Lynn just said. Ah! Guys, okay, let's not bury the lead. We are talking about It Chapter 2. The Stephen King novel It Chapter 2 is coming this year, and the trailer has dropped. Woot, woot.
And I'll never get to see it.
Por qué, amigo?
I never should have made that promise. I promised Matt I wouldn't watch it till I watched it with him.
You're bad.
I thought it would be a good incentive to get him to watch it because he knows how much I want to see it. But I promised him I wouldn't watch it with him. But he called my bluff, and I can't go back on my promise.
Okay, since Matt isn't here.
Well, hold up. What are you admitting to right now, Nick? You still haven't seen it?
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Since Matt isn't here, what are the odds of you ending up at Amy and Joe's the week of July 4th? What are the odds?
4th of July, sometime that week.
Actually, depending on when Gretchen gets her, if she gets a new job or not, maybe better than it has been, specifically for the fact that I am not working or going to school right now.
Okay, that is my birthday week, and I will more than likely be at Amy and Joe's that week. We might be able to also trick Matt into showing up.
Assuming he doesn't listen to this episode.
Hey, we all know Matt doesn't watch our episodes.
He never watches these damn episodes.
It's true. If we don't say anything about this episode, he actually probably won't hear it. So listeners, here's your chance to follow us on social media and see our every move leading up to freaking Matthew out.
He's terrified of the clowns.
Force him to watch the damn movie, and we'll record it while he's watching.
So I'll bring the duct tape. You bring the ice blunts.
I have 350 feet of nylon rope that I will bring with me, and I know use every last inch of it.
I know where he lives. Use it every last inch of it. Oh, sorry. I'm an adult. we're gonna have to black bag Matt. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, maybe. Potato sack his head.
You know, I've got a solid idea of what we can do, and I'll talk to you guys off air. Okay.
Okay.
Because I think it'll make great content for our channel, and our listeners and viewers will just have to tune in.
Stay tuned, folks.
Stay tuned. So on that note, now that we tangented a whole bunch.
So I just got to say, though, just so the viewers know what we're talking about. When this does go down, remember, the code word is Operation Canadian Bacon is a go.
Whoa. I thought the safe word was pineapple juice. Come on now.
That's the safe word, but Operation Canadian Bacon is
what we're going to do.
It's the mission.
It's the mission.
Shit. Makes sense. I shouldn't have said that because he knows the safe word now.
So you,
if I wouldn't have said that, he would have been screwed.
Joe will be big cheese. I'll be little slice.
Ooh. And Lynn will be the shredded spice. Cheddar. I was going to say spice.
No, I'm shredded cheddar.
Okay. Cheese.
So Joe,
slice
Joe can just
cheddar?
Go on. Or big cheese, little slice. Big cheese to little
big
slice.
Big cheese, little slice, and spice. Pinch of spice. How about pinch of spice, Lynn?
How's that pizza related?
Pinch of spice, fine.
Yep. You can put a pinch of spice on pizza. I didn't know we were talking about pizza, to be honest.
Big cheese, little slice, Canadian bacon?
No. Okay, we have to have a real quick discussion.
Okay.
Does pineapple belong on Canadian bacon? Go, Lynn.
No.
Oh no. We have the outlier.
Chef.
The outlier
Chef
is right
Gordon
in front
Ramsay.
Of us.
Chef Gordon Ramsay has even said it. Pineapple does not belong on pizza at all.
He can suck my nuts because it is a proven fact that human nature loves salty and sweet at the same damn time.
Well, so, I don't have any
Canadian bacon and pineapple is by human nature, path of least resistance.
Well, good news. I have no skin on my teeth for this argument for the sheer fact that I hate pizza.
I'm not saying that I have any personal preference. I am saying by path of least resistance, which is human nature, that salty and sweet is something that human taste buds love.
All right. So, well, we won't deny that fact. Let's get back to the topic at hand. Okay. Did you want to discuss the trailer? Did you want to briefly discuss the trailer, Lynn? No, Lynn. Hey. Tangents are allowed. It's okay. Stop stressing. I'm pulling this back.
I'm not stressing out. I'm saying, do you want to actually dive into the trailer, or do you want to move on to the next topic?
Well, our brief statements on how what we thought about it. We won't dive into it this week.
Trailer.
I'm going to give a brief perspective as to what it is. And it is the redhead from the original movie is older. She goes into the house of a citizen of the city that they lived in. And that citizen is an elderly folk. Okay. Little does she know that elderly folk is, by the end of the trailer, you are let known, the daughter of it.
Yeah. I mean, if we break it down, you're being super vague, and that's fine.
Actress that plays as the older version of her is Jessica Chastain.
She's playing Beverly. Yeah. Beverly is the character.
Yeah, Beverly. Okay. Yeah. But yeah. I was trying to be very... very vague for those who haven't seen it yet, because I would like for them to go out and see it.
Okay, here's the thing. Because I'm going to just let the listeners know right now that we will go much deeper next week in some of these things, but we're going to be kind of short and sweet tonight.
Need to go. If you have not seen the trailer, you need to go, because there are so many hidden things within that trailer that a lot of people missed out on. But go watch it. I know it's going to be creepy as AF, but watch it.
So what I'm thinking might be a good idea for this episode, since we're kind of coming back, let's do this as a hype-up episode. We're going to tell everything, all the trailers that we want to see, and the next episode we can actually go in-depth on these trailers.
Fair enough. That's why I'm kind of trying to keep it sweet.
No, and you did perfectly fine.
I'm sorry, dude.
Moving on to the next trailer, I would like to go on to the next one that I'm super excited for, and I'm trying to con Robin into going and seeing, is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay, yeah, break that down a little bit, like what you were telling us off air.
No joke, it is Quentin Tarantino is the director of the movie. I mean, obviously it's going to be, I don't know, it's a love-hate relationship with the guy, but I love him. I really appreciate his art form. The lead actors in the movie are Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, and a few others, but you will have to go check it out for yourself. And it plays as a movie set in the 1970s. And I can't remember if it's Brad Pitt or Leonardo, but one of them is the main actor and the other is the stuntman. And it glorifies the horror stories of Hollywood. And it also shows the good sides of Hollywood.
Holy cow, this freaking cast is lengthy, bro.
Right? It's ridiculous. And the thing that the media was getting upset about is that Margot Robbie only has 11 minutes of screen time of a 145-minute movie.
Oh, yeah, this is 2 hours and 39-minute runtime. Dang.
Apparently what the media is focused on is that Margot Robbie only has 11 minutes. And Quentin Tarantino's thoughts were to shut their stupid questions down and say, you know what, this was a depiction of Hollywood in its truest form, and I'm not going to agendify a movie just so that you're happy, is what Quentin Tarantino said.
Which is great, dude, because that's why his movies are good.
And honestly, Margot Robbie, when the media got their chance to talk to her, she backed him up. And the entire time, Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio were laughing at the question. That is the
best. I respect them, yeah.
You know, the thing that the media was shooting at is, why did you make a movie that didn't focus on a woman main character or whatever, or didn't give a woman more spotlight time? But if you go back to Tarantino's movie, what was Kill Bill 1 and Kill Bill 2? That was nothing but Uma Thurman front and center, and then all of the villains, with the exception of Bill, they were all female. So come on, how can you say that?
Yeah, even in his old material, yes, he's always been a balanced storyteller.
Pulp Fiction was, Uma Thurman had a greater part of that movie too. It wasn't just
and it had Samuel Jackson and John Travolta.
Come on. Yeah. So I mean, the media's portrayal of this movie is kind of, I feel like it's a little harsh and a little, they're trying to hate bait.
Mm-hmm.
To coin the term.
A lot of that going on in 2019, dude.
It's the media trying to get click. It's all that it really is anymore. They're seeing that if they don't spark the hate, they don't get the views or the reads of their articles. But really, I appreciate his response to the media during the press conference, and it was very sweet and to the point. It was just, I disagree with your views. That's all that he said. He kept it to a one-liner, and then he moved over and let Margot Robbie have the stage, and she, she gave her spiel, and she spent, I want to say, maybe 15, 20 minutes letting that reporter know how she felt about it.
Yeah, I love that, dude.
I am excited for the movie just for the fact that his cinematography, it's always been great. His the way that he lays out a scene, the way that he runs a movie on, tells a story, it's always great.
I haven't seen a Tarantino film that wasn't good. I can't think of one.
You're hard pressed, honestly. It really is, like, I don't know. I can appreciate all of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, probably the biggest one that I love from the guy is Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, that's a classic.
That is a good one. But I mean, I'll stop fanboying on Tarantino.
We could dedicate an episode to just talking about his material, his breadth of work.
He's not limited, and I love the fact that he really is not limited.
Mm. Yeah,
because he's proven that he's capable of doing, the noir style. He's proven that he's capable of doing the timeline jump storytelling, and it's great. He's good at it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, same here, dude. Do we have any other films to cover or trailers that anyone wants to throw out there?
I think it was a day or three ago from the time that we recorded this. A new trailer was released, and I'm actually super excited about it. It is James Cameron's foray back into it since
the comeback,
the second movie. Yeah. And it also brings back one of the original actresses. The movie I am talking about is Terminator Dark Fate.
Oh, dude. That trailer looked awesome.
It looked awesome. A lot of people are freaking out and not happy about it, but I'm more than okay with it. It's bringing back Linda Hamilton.
Okay, real quick. Okay, we'll get into that in a minute. Go ahead, break it down. Give us the breakdown, quick breakdown.
In the trailer, you see Linda Hamilton going apeshit on a newer Terminator, who does some really cool liquid metal stuff.
There, T-1000 from Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm. The cop,
But I think it was upgraded.
Oh, it's like nanites instead of like the liquid metal, whatever. Yeah, it's definitely cool and looks new.
But she comes out with shotguns and grenade launcher and just like lays into this thing.
Yeah.
She just rips him apart. Yeah.
And later in the trailer, you also see Arnie. He's also in it. They're bringing back the original crew. See a new Terminator Guardian helping the person. And it kind of leads to the thing where this might be kind of like Salvation, where you have someone that thinks they're human, but they're more Terminator.
What's really weird is they've aged up Arnold, and I heard rumors that he's still playing the original Terminator, but they've like maintained his aging. So I'm curious as to how that's going to play into the plot. You know what I mean? And then the new chick you're talking about who thinks she's human, she's like more close to like Westworld synthetics than she is old school Terminator, and that's interesting.
Yep. And it looks good. You don't see the crazy like Arnold jumping through helicopters, but you see the
can I throw this
the old
in there?
School like
can I yeah. point this out in that trailer? The whole highway scene. It's one of the biggest things, one of the hugest things that Terminator 2 was given praise for was that whole highway chase scene. And here we are seeing a very practical scene again with an interaction of them jumping between vehicles while this new T3 whatever thousand thing black nanite creature is like driving this shovel massive size dump truck towards them, and there's this whole highway combat scene, dude, and it totally brings me back to the nostalgic iconic highway chase scene that we got in Terminator 2. So that gives me excitement and tells me, okay, James Cameron is definitely back. And because as we know in the media, we've been told they're retconning the last two films, Salvation and
Genesis.
Yeah, 3, 4, and 5 are getting retconned, and so we're going straight back to this being a direct sequel to number 2.
Yeah, it just makes you know that James Cameron's back into it. And we haven't actually seen a good Terminator movie since Judgment Day. So I'm hoping this brings back and grounds the whole series.
Also, another perk, Tim Miller is directing this, a.k.a. Yep. Deadpool 1, Tim Miller.
Yep.
So
James Cameron is producer, and Tim Miller is director.
And he is fostering Tim Miller to run this thing. So,
but that's definitely a trailer I'm excited for. Another trailer we may have talked about. What? Go ahead.
Concluding thoughts. What's our psych level, I guess, on Terminator? No numbers. We're all excited. We'll probably do a review episode of this. All of us will go see it.
Dude, that trailer, I do have to say, the hype train is like full steam ahead.
And it comes out in November of this year. More excited good because that's right before Star Wars Episode 9. Whew!
Yeah. So I'm lying on the excitement level, I'm more excited than I was about the Sonic trailer, but less excited than the Avengers trailer.
Okay, hold on.
Whoa, I'm trying to wait. I'm trying to compute what you just meant. No, by the way, hold up.
I will say, give it a minute. Let them re-release the Sonic trailer because the studio did say They are going to re-CGI Sonic.
Yeah, just to let y'all know when it comes to Sonic news right here. Sonic was probably one of my favorite cartoon characters ever. And when they first said they were going to do it, I was like so excited. Then I saw that trailer. I'm like, what the hell did they do? That is not Nick, Sonic the Hedgehog. That's Sonic the Manhog.
Nick, I don't know about Lynn's background, but you and me, I think I could go toe-to-toe with you on Sonic lore and fandom. So I think you and me are in the same boat regarding our opinions.
But one thing that I'm actually very excited about, and a lot of people weren't.
Hold up. Lynn, go ahead real quick. I didn't mean to put you out of it. Go ahead.
In the original Sonics, I am at Green Zone 1. And in the Dreamcast Sonics, I am all the way through Adventures and Adventures 2.
Nice.
The only ones that matter. Everything after that can go just die in a dumpster fire.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We might as well talk about it. The Sonic trailer.
What was
it's a Sonic little bit old news, but we at Nerdgentles has not made their opinion on it yet.
What I was going to say is good news is they pushed it back to 2021.
Holy crap. Well, they need the time, right?
Because they're going to redo all the CG.
Yeah, they have to redo all the CGI for...
They heard the outrage, and they actually listened.
No! We cannot mad at them. We can't be mad at them for this. They are listening to their community. They're listening to their fan base.
Yes, everybody be happy. This is a great thing.
None of us are saying that, Lynn. Who's mad? Who's mad?
No. There's a lot of people that are upset that they're having to wait until this comes out.
Oh, but whatever. Fixing it. Yeah.
No. You need to calm down. You need to understand. They're actually listening to you.
This is monumentous.
Unlike GameCube, like there's EA, Activision. Those guys do not listen. They don't care. They're about the bottom dollar. This company, Paramount, and the directors of the Sonic movie are actually listening to the community of Sonic and saying, hey, we get you guys. We understand that this was a bad representation of Sonic. We're going to fix it. Give us a minute. We'll get it down. And we're gonna make you guys happy. We're going to do you right. And just you have to be patient. It's like
the positive I want to take, like if we're just like if I was to say one thing that I want to add that I got out of the trailer aside from the atrocity of the representation of the character
Manhog.
No. Aside from everyone's opinion that I share regarding Sonic's appearance and the fact that our beautiful anime character has human teeth. I don't even want to go into it. Aside from all this blasphemous imagery, the one thing I would take away that if you could ignore the impaired image of Sonic, that as far as the storytelling goes, like how this kind of the comedy and how it's kind of self-aware and stuff, I can kind of appreciate and get down on the idea that this is the direction the film is going in. I'm personally a fan of the more serious fictionalized world of Mobius with the 1993 release of Sonic the Hedgehog. There were two versions of Sonic the Hedgehog that came out and were syndicated on Saturday mornings. There was a super cartoony, loony version called called The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. And then there was a slightly more serious take called Sonic the Hedgehog, which involved the Freedom Fighters, Dr. Robotnik, roboticizing people. And it was very dark and menacing and still had comedy. I'm more of a fan of the serious version. But I feel like the movie is taking the more lighthearted approach to Sonic and kind of making it a little more self-aware and goofy. Like, it knows it's ridiculous. And so some of the comedy beats with James Marsden, the lead actor in there, with Sonic the Hedgehog, and some of the comedy beats, I can get behind a little bit. Like, I kind of like, I'm okay with it is all I'm saying. If they they fix Sonic's image, I might enjoy this movie. Hold on, Lynn's trying to say some stuff. Go for it, Lynn.
Well, I was just going to, like, add on to your statements. It is very self-aware in the fact that Dr. Robotnik is Jim Carrey.
And it's Jim Carrey hamming it up from his olden days.
I know a lot of people were upset about it.
No. It's a good thing.
It's fantastic. We all agree. We all agree with this. We're all down with Jim Carrey, the mask era, hamming it up.
It has a slow burn to it, and from what I've seen from the trailer, at the end, it is just like full-blown Dr. Robotnik, let me tell you something, from, you know, when he was...
The ridiculous mustache, the goggles, the bald head, it goes there. It goes there eventually, and I can't wait to see that.
He goes from, like, calm and collected Jim Carrey to... In living color, Jim Carrey, you know, let me tell you something, fucking the mask, all of it.
I honestly think if they're going to take the time to redo it and do the animation, redo all the voice work, put Steve Urkel in there and get the proper voice.
Jaleel White, a.k.a. Steve Urkel, get him back. Pay him the money. Get him in there. Oh, my God.
He is the best. And will for always be... Sonic the freaking Hedgehog.
Yes. Yeah.
that's like making an animated version of Joker and not using Mark Hamill.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
I was just going to use the reference that people need to calm down and let them redo it in the instance of when, you know, how that the founders of Nintendo said that a great game will be delayed, but a very poor game will be rushed and forever be poor. And I feel like Hideo Kojima is a good example of that. And this, you really got to give it the time. You got to let them redo it and make it. They're trying to listen to you.
Take this as a win, folks. They don't normally do this, and they actually listen to the outrage.
Yeah, this is a historical event if it actually pulls off the change, because no one in Hollywood has ever listened to petitions or outcries on what they saw in a trailer and then had said studio fix it. Like this is going to be kind of a historical thing if it works out.
And it's not exactly the cheapest thing or the most time efficient thing. They're listening to you. They're hearing your outcries that you don't care for the way that Sonic looks or the way that Sonic acts, and they're trying to fix it. So they're trying to make it right by you and your representation of Sonic. So give them the minute to fix it. I mean, come on. They're trying to make it good. Don't criticize it until they're done. Once they're done and they release their final product and you still don't care for it, okay, then give us your 2 cents and we'll give you your penny for your thoughts. Okay? Because they put the effort in to try and make it right. And that honestly, as a consumer, that's what counts most to me, is that they're trying to make it right. They really are.
It's impressive.
I don't know what else to say here. They heard your words and they're trying to make it. They're trying to fix it.
So we deviated slightly from maybe Nick, where you were originally thinking about going. Did you have anything else you wanted to touch right now? Or should we wrap up with a final topic? Because we are hitting that 1 hour mark or close to.
We just hit movies.
I know, dude. I know. And we were trying to make it short and sweet. Now we can't do that when we don't talk on a weekly basis.
Do we want to hit TV real quick?
Well, that's what I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm getting your guys' thoughts. Do you want to do some TV talk real quick?
No, I'm down to move on. I don't have any more movie trailers.
I was
going to
bring up Brightburn, but
let's hit that next week. Yeah. And let's we can dive in a little deeper.
Yeah, that trailer, Lynn, when you get a chance before next week, try to watch that.
Let me give a minute. I'll probably watch it this weekend.
Yeah. It's sick.
Guys, we will come back to more movie talk very soon. But for now, let's shift over to some TV talk. Welcome to TV talk, guys. I don't know if there's any hype chatter, but I am willing to give a couple quick reviews. We won't dive in super deep. I don't think everyone's watched all the same shows, so that'll be easy to kind of keep it short and sweet. Who here has watched and finished The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Season 2 on Netflix? Okay, one Nick. Lynn, you out? Okay, nose goes. All right, Lynn. Or, sorry, Nick, you and me. In summary, we won't break down plot. If anyone's interested in a deeper dive, hit us up on our Gmail, nerdgentials@gmail.com. And guys, seriously, if you want to hear us dive into something specific, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or hit the email button and put out a request, because we would absolutely love to dive into something that you guys want to hear about. But for the sake of this, yeah, Lynn?
Awesome. Any hate you got, send it to @paytohavefun.
@paytohavefun?
I appreciate the hate. I do not discourage it. I love to hear it. Let's go.
Guys, specifically, Lynn is asking for some hate mails, so send it his way to @paytohavefun. That's on exactly. Twitter.
I appreciate it. It is constructive, whether you believe it or not. If you're just trying to be a troll, I still take it into consideration. So let's go, fam.
All right, fam. Here we are. TV chatter, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Lynn, or Matt, Nick, what am I? Here, Matt.
Everybody.
That's all right. I was only your best man at your wedding.
Whoa. I'm drinking tonight, dude. I apologize. Don't take it personal. Nick. What did you rate season one on a scale of 1 to 10? How did you feel about season one? For me, it was a solid 10. For me, I was in love with it from beginning to end. What do you give it? I only see four fingers.
I give it a 5. I like the
did
first.
You,
season.
Did no, were no, you? I, no, I'm just asking. Did we watch it at the same time, or did you watch it well after I did?
I think we watched it at the same time. I watched it as soon as it hit Netflix.
Oh, okay.
I had a little bit of an issue with it. The first season, I loved. This season, I liked. I liked some of the direction they went to it. But
I
it
asked
almost...
you, what did you rate season one?
Oh, I thought you were saying
the second. Oh, well, there's no. Cat's out of the bag, guys. Season two is a 5 for Nick. I was asking you what you thought about season one.
Season one, 9 out of 10.
Because I'm not giving season two a 10. Season one... was a 10.
Yeah, it was a 9 out of 10 for me.
Okay. All right, now that we've squared that away, let's jump into season two. You give it a 5. That's already been given away. I'm going to give this one roughly, I'm going to say an 8. I'm a little on the high end. It's not what season one was. but not to give too much away, what's your reasoning for such a low score? I want to get your personal thoughts first.
For me, it felt like they got away from the heart of the story and tried tackling too much SJW. They went full J on social Sabrina. Justice warrior. It was all feminism. It was all everything. It just felt like that was their whole focus, was all that. I know Sabrina's supposed to be...
Oh, man. Okay, let's... I don't want to get too deep into it, because this could be an hour discussion if we were to get into the politics and socialisms of it.
That's what bothered me, the politics of it. They got away from the heart of the show, is why I didn't like it.
Okay.
Well, here's my thing. Okay. If you're trying to get into the
politics, go on.
Okay. On this thing right here, the original Sabrina show, would you have had any SJW issues with it at all?
They didn't tackle that.
Right? Okay. What is today or the current age and events of things end game goal of SJW?
I don't know.
Go ahead, spell it out, Lynn. What are you getting at? Go ahead.
Is it an attempt at trying to make yourself relevant? Is it an attempt at trying to draw attention to yourself? Is it? I don't know. What my thing is it's a whole lot of trying to a certain social group make yourself seem relevant, and to another social group make yourself seem like you're trying to trigger them in an attempt to create hate, which I feel like this is a terrible ideological. You get what I'm saying.
We do.
Ideology of how things work. You know what I mean? That's kind of the end of it. I don't want to go any further.
The only thing I'll add to it, Lynn, and it's not meant as a debating point, like I don't need any counters to this. The only thing I'll add to what you just said, I guess it's a little bit of an opinion, but it is kind of also the framework for how all entertainment is being produced currently in 2019. The landscape, if you will, the demographic, all I'm saying is, as far as the show goes, I don't think anyone on Netflix is trying to produce content to generate hate.
No. There's no counterpoint to it.
A counterpoint.
No.
You just said, are they doing it because of this or are they doing it because of that? Right? You asked the question.
I am agreeing with you. I'm saying there's no counterpoint to you. It is
I'm not arguing with you.
No, it's like shows were produced in the old days. There's a certain demographic that they appeal to, and other people need to understand that everyone is entitled to their opinion, and you do not need to agree necessarily with that opinion if you don't. It's one of those things where if it's not something you agree with, you walk away. Yeah. You don't agree with it. It's just one of those things. It's meant to appeal to a certain audience, and that's how TV has always worked. There's a certain demographic that they agree that they're supposed to depict to, and this show is meant to depict to a certain audience.
Yeah.
And you just got to understand, if you don't agree with it, you don't align with that demographic. That's all that it is.
Well, my problem with it was the first season, it addresses the whole her battling her witch side and her human side, trying to find a balance between it, trying to stay good without dipping into the evil and maintain. And it almost felt like they got away from that whole fight in the second season and it all turned political.
Hold on, Lynn. You didn't see this show, right? You haven't watched it. Let me just make a point to what he said.
I'm trying. Okay, you hit it, and then I would like to get an understanding from someone from the outside looking in. So you hit it. Go for it.
Okay, my perspective is coming from one that is on the outside looking in, because I hold no particular fandom for Sabrina. I never read any of the comic books. I barely watched any of the original sitcom that was definitely a comedy-based sitcom. I mean, hell, the Black Cat Salem talked the entire series. There's no talking cat in this version. From the outside looking in, I totally enjoyed the characters and their directions, the storylines being told within those characters. I do feel like, unfortunately, because of modern television storytelling, every network is trying to cover every aspect of quote-unquote representation. So I don't mean to be offensive by saying that, but some things do seem to be overly peppered in for the sake of representation. That being said, we had a whole episode dedicated to one of the characters being gender confused at first and then self-realizing what she believes herself to be. We've had a veracity, well, there's a whole episode dedicated to sex, having sex with each other, Lupercalia, episode 3, completely covered just the idea of visceral hunting one another for the point of fornication. This show dips so heavily into, biblical allegory. I mean, completely taking things out of the Bible and putting them into a fictionalized perspective. I might get hate from people by making that statement. I'm personally a Christian, but I am not upset at some of the things that this show paints. I'm taking this show completely at fictional face value. As far as some of its social commentaries, yes, there's a lot of feminism as well, especially with Mrs. Wardwell trying to empower women. And yes, that is kind of a huge thing in 2019. I'm not against any of that. And there is a beautiful way to portray that. And then there is a thumb up your ass in your face way to portray that. And you can take it at face value or be upset at what they have done here at Netflix. For me, I take a lot of this lightheartedly. I've enjoyed the fiction that they have spun here. It is trying to say a handful of things. With that being said, from an outside perspective, me personally having no ties to the original fiction or canon, I still enjoyed the show and I wasn't offended by much of anything portrayed here. It does go a little over the top, and it is not a show for everyone. Absolutely not for everyone. So that's my final take, and that's why it gets an 8 out of 10, because I will agree with you, Nick. It did stray from some of the heart of season 1, being such a focus on Sabrina and her struggle, and it added in a lot of these other things that maybe didn't need to be as heavily focused on. That's my conclusion. Any additional things you guys want to say, and or we can move on?
I'm good.
I hope I painted that in a clear, easy to digest way, Lynn. I hope that made sense of what I said.
No, you're good.
You were wanting to say something, Lynn.
No, I'll leave it. We can move on.
I know. We're trying to get to the last couple things here, so. Was there anything else TV-wise? I mean, Sabrina was a big one. I'll give you a quick, brief review of a Netflix original series called Dead to Me.
Sure.
Dead to Me has been a lot of fun. You chuckle in. Have you or Robin been checking this out?
I think we've caught an episode or two of it.
Netflix original series Dead to Me. It is a 30-minute comedy drama series. It runs for 10 episodes. Easy to binge. I got about 7 episodes through. It stars such actresses as Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini. You may know her as the wife of Hawkeye from Avengers. She also played Velma in the live-action Scooby-Doo films. James Marsden, you guys know him from Westworld, and Cyclops from the original X-Men series. And it's got a few other notables that make small appearances. So anyway, it's heavily focused on Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini and their relationship. The premise is a series about a powerful friendship that blossoms between a tightly wound widow, Applegate, and a free spirit with a shocking secret, Linda Cardellini. Guys, this, I won't go into it too much because a massive plot twist that just kind of continues to launch the rest of the season happens in the last 60 seconds of episode one. They're only 30-minute episodes, so it's really easy to get to that point. It's set up really well. Applegate, Christina Applegate, is a widowed wife with two kids, a teenage boy and like a 10-year-old son, you know, 10 and 15-ish, around that age. She's just trying to get through life. Her husband was killed in a hit-and-run accident. They never found the driver or who killed him. And she's just kind of on edge dealing with her grief. She meets Linda Cardellini, her character, at a griefing group where at this point in time in the story, Linda Cardellini is saying that her boyfriend also died, and they make that connection. And she's kind of the free-spirited aspect, and she's kind of a little loony, well, free-spirited is perfect. She immediately tries to befriend Christina Applegate. Applegate kind of warms up to her, and it seems like that's not going to be like, okay, what's so exciting about this? Guys, I don't want to spoil it because my wife got pissed off she was really upset when I mildly going on about how, oh man, I unfortunately heard the spoiler to the end of this episode but that's the thing, is like I really don't want to give away that because it's such a short episode. I think anyone could give 30 minutes of their time to at least try this show out, because by the end of the episode you see them two befriending each other and then a crazy twist happens and you're like, oh my god, how are they going to deal with their lives going forward at the end of that episode? That's kind of you're like, oh wow, just kind of a shocking thing. But the thing is, the show is filled with humor, heartwarming, serious moments. There's brief moments where you could find yourself getting a little teared up kind of about what they're dealing with, and then a split second later something comical occurs, and it's a really well-rounded show so far. I'm 7 out of 10 episodes into it. Me and the wife will probably finish it up end of this weekend. It is worth a watch. I'm currently going to give it an 8 out of 10. If the finale of the season sticks the landing, it could get a 10 out of 10 for me. If the show sticks the landing for season 1. I'm loving it. Highly recommend it, guys. That's my Dead to Me review. We've got one more relatively hot topic that we're going to try to keep tighten it here and not go too far into it. And you guys will immediately know what that kind of struggle looks like by the simple sound of this tune. Nicholas.
Throne, throne, give me throne, thrones. Give me thrones.
Guys, go YouTube Jack Black. Go YouTube Jack Black, Game of Thrones.
I could listen to that on repeat forever.
So, guys, is it fair to say that there has been so much good YouTube content coming out of the finale of that show? I've seen so many parodies, so many musical things. Maybe you haven't been on link because you've been working a lot, but I'll send you guys some links. There's some funny stuff being posted out
there. We're not going to do a full breakdown. We're not going to do anything like that, but we're going to give a quick review what we thought.
I will say, before you guys, my favorite part of the ending was Bronn of the Blackwater.
Real quick, are we going to keep this spoiler-free for now, or do I need to put a spoiler warning for this? That show just end.
You need to put a big old spoiler warning.
Hey guys,
spoiler.
All right, here it is.
I have no ability
to hold back.
Now. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't.
All right, then hold on.
He's more broken than Bran. Right.
I have been working so much, and I've still been able to watch it. Anyone who hasn't seen it can suck it. Spoilers.
Okay. Here is your spoiler warning.
Warning. Spoiler alert. Warning. Spoiler alert. You have been warned.
Okay, that just happened. All right, guys, it's free game. This is the end of the episode. If you haven't seen it yet, suck it. You guys, all the links in the description for anything you want to follow us on. That's it. All right, here's our Game of Thrones free ball talking on our feelings about things. And it's not going to be a deep dive this time. We will do it soon.
Lynn, drop it like it's hot.
Okay, drop it like it's hot.
To all of those people that signed the petition or thought about a petition for a different ending for this show, suck it. I absolutely do not give two flying F's what you think.
Two flying dragons?
This is the depiction that certain people wanted to see. And there is a reason why fan fiction exists, is because you didn't agree with the ending, so you created an alternate ending, and here you go. But I will say, I did enjoy the last episode to its core. And the best part was the last maybe 15 to 20 minutes of the episode. And dude, the jokes, and
they were fire.
I couldn't believe how humorous it got at the end, dude. Like,
right, and
we're spoilerific right now.
All of the ends were kind of tied in right there in the last 15-20 minutes. Because I legitimately turned to Robin and I go, dude, John and Tyrion still owe Bronn the Blackwater a castle, and they owe him a debt because they're both alive.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you, but he's owed a debt. They're both alive. And then who the hell, right at the end, when Tyrion straightens up all the chairs at the table, who the comes in and immediately takes the chair and turns it sideways and sits in it cockeyed, is Bronn the Blackwater. And then it's immediately
now the
followed
master
by
of coin.
Master of Coin.
Master of Coin. Go figure. The
sell sword. Who better the than the man that loves coin?
The guy who knows money, right?
No, I can honestly say this turned out a lot different than any of us
expected. Oh gosh.
It
Yeah. And I have okay, seeing Sam in the robe with the chains was fantastic.
That was
dude,
perfect.
I had to say he deserves it.
Yep.
Everything with like Sir what's his name?
Which one are you? Who are you thinking of? Describe, like uncle?
No, Khaleesi's love that she couldn't love, but
Jorah.
Sir Jorah. Everything that he put into curing this
grayscale.
Grayscale. Dude, I have to give it to Sam, and the fact when all of, you know, the Tullys, the Starks, the Ironborn, and, you know, Sir Robin were all there at the end, and they were depicting how all the nations should be represented, or how all the kingdoms should be represented.
Yeah.
And Sam says, hey, we should have a democracy. Sam knew what was up.
And
but,
the guy,
you know,
and the old man, I forget what house he was from, but he was like, let the people decide. And they all kind of laugh and scoff at that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those moments where you go back to, like, what was it, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, where you just go, I didn't vote for him.
Okay, before,
but, I got to admit, though, I'm going to echo you a little bit on the whole thing. The writers did their due diligence on these episodes. The producers of the show did a great job on putting this together. A lot of people were upset about the season. It was probably one of my favorites. A lot of people thought it felt rushed. A lot of people thought it felt different. They made it very, not to be punny with the name, very stark in contrast to the other seasons. Different things. And it felt like one of the emotionally deeper seasons out of all of them.
I have to concur with you, because you have to get down to character builds, to what would that character do. And honestly, you know, at the end, when people hated the way that Daenerys acted, you have to think, where did she come from? What's she been through? What's it taken to get there? And why would she stop?
I'm sorry, this is the best way I could put this. Daenerys pulled a Trump. She did exactly what she said she was going to do. She said it from the get-go outside of the city of Essos, that she was going to burn that city to the ground.
Well, I think the thing that concreted it was when they decapitated Grey Worm's, you know,
Missandei.
Yeah, when they decapitated her, and before that, she said, "Burn it."
Yeah,
you guys understand that Missandei? Her name's Missandei. There's a meme about it.
There was probably six, seven times that you can count that Dany said, "I am going to burn that place to the ground."
Well, the thing that gets me is, okay, she started to burn it, but why did the green stuff underneath start going off?
Because it already went off in the previous season.
Yeah. Well, what's her face set it off?
No.
Or it's still the caches from Rhaegal the Mad.
Well, no. There were people that were saying...
real quick, guys. I haven't even given you my thoughts at all, and we're diving a little deep into the weeds here as far as breaking shit down. We absolutely need a spoiler cast for this.
Yes, we do.
I need to tone it back. I'm sorry.
No, it's fandom, dude. Like, we're all of us are excited about what happened.
Okay, before we go any further, I will say, all those people that have posted on Facebook, hey, I'm that 1% that doesn't actually watch Game of Thrones or hasn't seen an episode. Cool story. I have a box of cookies in the cabinet for you, and you're missing out. But
what's this post about? I've heard nothing about this 1% of people making statements.
I've seen on my Facebook page a bunch of people saying, oh, hey, I'm like the 1% that hasn't seen Game of Thrones.
That's all they're saying. They're just saying,
yeah.
But is there a point to them?
They're trying to be hipster kids and say, hey, I haven't seen an episode of Game of Thrones. Cool story. All right.
Oh. Okay.
You're missing out on one of the most compelling stories that has been on.
For you, 1%.
At the end of the day, you will end up watching this and catching up to it. And you're behind the times, and so, here we go.
So
get a cookie.
To make our cast well-rounded, let me just offer up my generic feelings, because you guys have already, like, I agree with a lot of things you said, like the as far as like you getting into details and stuff. And like, we'll save that for the spoiler cast.
Yeah, we really need to make a spoiler cast for this.
Oh, absolutely, we need to.
Damn.
We need to, because there's way too much in this show to not talk about. So I'm gonna try really hard to put a capper over this as far and just give you guys a third perspective or a third feelings about it, and then you guys, can shun me, shame me, or disagree or agree. But so I don't think you know. I don't think you guys know or expect what my overall thought is here. My general feelings, I loved season 8, and I absolutely enjoyed how the characters ended, as far as where they ended up, all of it. Like, I enjoyed all of that, like, where they ended up. I kind of put myself in a weird spot because I wasn't prepared to unfold anything beyond that. I was like, oh, wait, no, I'm trying to cap it off here. So I don't want to stir up a crazy heated conversation here. I do have to say, okay, these are just unique opinions, okay? It's not meant as an, it's going to be a debate, not an argument, and I don't want to do that right here.
Honestly, wherever you end it, I have a finisher for it.
Okay, perfect. Okay, here it goes. So, like, I loved what they did with the comedy and humor at the end. I fully respect and appreciate where each of the characters ended up. It was expected that Danny would go crazy. Like, I kind of expected that, even though season 5 and 6 made us fall in love with her and thought, oh, maybe she is the hope we need. But hold on. I'm not crazy by saying that, right?
Keep going.
There's lots of stuff you guys could say. I know there's lots of things you guys could say as I'm saying these things. So try to hold off for just a second. So mid series, they kept showing us signs that they're, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, okay, Danny could be the hope we want to see. And then, you know, towards season 6 and 7, we're like, oh, Jon Snow is the guy we need. And then we kind of see these different things. They give us false hopes and misleading feelings about different characters. But I'm not stupid. I'm not ignorant to the fact that Dany showed signs of her heritage and the Mad King of being crazy throughout. Yeah, I'm not dismissing any of that. Not at all. Okay, so hold on.
She showed signs of Aegon.
Plenty of signs. I'm not dismissing that at all. And so I fully expected so what I'm getting at is I fully expected some of the stuff we got at the ending, like kind of the results that I was shocked when Jon Snow stabbed Dany, but I kind of also expected it. Like, there were moments where I was still shocked and just because I didn't fully read into it, or I didn't fully think about, okay, this possibility. I chose not to think. I purposely chose not to look at fan fiction. I purposely chose not to even think about what would the actual ending be. I just kind of let it ride out. And so the Jon Snow thing at the end did surprise me. The biggest shock, obviously, was Bran the Broken. I love it. It was funny. I do think it's fitting, but I was still surprised at the very end. The very end, the one thing I can praise the writers for is they still surprised me at the end, and I don't hate them for that at all. I appreciated where everyone ended up. Okay? That's my bottom line. Now, I know you guys are praise. I do only have one negative thing to say.
Okay, go.
Just so I can give you a basis for whatever you want to conclude with, Lynn. The only negative I will say, the only thing I wanted out of this was I wanted more of the characters' endings to be fleshed out just a little bit more. And the only point of reference or fact I want to point out is the writers, Dan and David, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, demanded more or less, and there's quote-for-quote articles dictating the conversation between HBO and the writers. Dan and David didn't want to go more than 7 seasons. They're like, no, we can tell the story in 7 seasons. And HBO said, we want 10 seasons at least. And even George R.R. Martin, said in a recent video that he knew HBO wanted 10 seasons. He said, yeah, that would be appropriate. And he personally, as the author, would have loved to have seen 12 or 13 seasons. That's crazy. George Martin, you crazy, whatever. You did write a lot of beautiful shit. But in conclusion, the point is, you guys can hate me for this opinion. I know you don't agree with it at all, but our show is about variety of opinion. I disagree with you guys on the merits that I do think they rushed the last two seasons in total, season 7 and 8. I love season 7, and I love the ending of season 8. I love where everyone ended up. Don't forget that. I love where everyone ended up. I just wish they had given me more. All I wanted was more, Lynn. So you can't fault me for wanting more of this amazing show.
Okay. Okay.
That's it. That's it. That's my conclusion.
That's your it? Okay.
I'm not going to give it a number right now. Let me
go a little bit back through it. Okay. I will say, I agree with you with your statement on that people should have fleshed out stories a little bit more. But
some of it. I'm not asking for a lot, you know.
I will say,
God,
there is things you missed. And I do say you need to go back and watch the last episode, whether you like it or not, and actually dive a little deeper. Because with right here, what I'm about to say, the biggest spoiler I have for this is the Hound. You need to go back and watch the last episode. And when Arya is walking down the hallway and she goes past a big opening, she pauses for a minute. There is a large figure there with his hands buried, with his face buried in his hands. And it is the Hound. And he is completely surrounded by fire. And he is alive. People need to go back and watch that episode, because there are things that are hidden in that episode that you did not catch. And it does tie things up a whole lot better. And it took me watching it a good 3 or 4 times to catch all these things. But through Arya's story arc and Jon's story arc, there is a lot of things that I can guarantee you missed. Like, for Jon's story arc, go and watch the first episode, the very first episode of Game of Thrones, and then go and watch the very last episode and tell me the correlation between the beginning and the end, and how Jon's story begins and how Jon's story ends.
That's great. Just to add one last little bit of elaboration on why I said what I said regarding things feeling rushed. What you're telling me as far as like correlations, character arcs, and hints, Easter eggs, details. Yeah.
Hidden meanings that you didn't catch, that you didn't pay attention to.
But Lynn, let me just counter that you're not telling me anything that I don't already know. As far as what you're saying doesn't change my opinion that I didn't get enough of my characters. Because you heard my conclusion. My conclusion was I love all the characters' endings. That doesn't diminish my love of the show at all. Me pointing out that I wanted more. I just wanted more of my characters fleshed out before the conclusion. Okay. Does not diminish my love of the show.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the people who want a complete rewrite to the end.
Oh no! Those people that want a rewrite. No,
those people.
The people that want the rewrite. Did you read the article of the guy that started the petition? Did you read the full article of the guy that started the petition?
I did not. Because
he did it as an extra. It is a great article. A great perspective. I fully agree with the guy that started the petition. He did not expect it to go the way it did. He started the petition as an exercise of feelings and thoughts as a fan, not with the intention of it being rewritten. And he appreciated the show and how it ended. The guy that started the petition. You have 500,000 assholes who decided to sign it because they don't know how to write a story.
I'm not talking about the...
That's all I'm going to say. Sorry, I didn't mean to get crazy vulgar.
No, you're fine. I'm talking about the secondary petition, which was bullshit. I'm not talking about the first petition. I agree. His is...
What's the second petition?
No, the secondary one was the garbage one, which was just people not liking the way that it ended, pretty much.
Oh, I've not seen that petition.
If you go looking for it, you'll find it real quick.
Do you want to hear my hate mail inducing opinion?
Well, okay, hold on. Before you get into it, I have one other thing. I will say that there was a pretty badass crossover between The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. And it was Norman Reedus tweeting out, "What is west of Westeros?" And it was him and Arya in the same photo. I could greatly appreciate it.
Westeros?
If that's what she found was more White Walkers, but they weren't white... That was amazing. I can get down, because honestly, she's down with the living dead, and
that's living all the dead with. Girl.
Yeah.
just for shits and giggles, Nick.
Let's hear. No.
If you want to make your hate mail statement, go for it.
I'm not intending for me to get hate mail. This is an honest opinion, and hate me if you like.
Mine was an honest opinion, and it disagreed with you guys, so...
Well, before you guys get into it, all hate mail goes to Lynn at Pay to Have Fun.
Okay.
All right, go on.
I have read all the books.
You're short two books, mister.
I've read all the books that are written as to date. And I've read everything George has written.
Wait.
Okay. He's going book nerd on us here. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Let him say it, Lynn. What do you got to say? Let Nick say what he's going to say.
Go on. Hit it, Nick.
I have read everything George has written. I loved the books. But this is one of the instances where I think the show movie adaptation was better.
Oh,
you know that either the books will never ever be published at this point because Martin is too busy with all his other bullshit and side projects, or the fact that now the way the show ended, he will now alter the way he was going to end the novels. So,
you mean all we're getting, of that? Oh, right there?
Guys, we're getting into two. We could have these discussions and go more.
All I was trying to say is that everyone is upset about how the show ended. I'm not discrediting how they felt about it, but there are people like me who felt that the writers and the producers and the directors of the TV show did a better service for the show than George Martin did.
You realize Martin is fully backing up HBO and the writers and said he liked how it ended.
Yeah.
That's all over the internet. YouTube feeds. George R. R. Martin has backed up everything that they've done.
No.
No, I'm I think the show writers did better than George did.
I know what you just said.
He said that it wouldn't have ended much different than the directors ended it.
That's my point, is George R.R. Martin gave them bullet points, and probably, this is only speculation because he didn't confirm it, he did say it would be very similar as far as how it ends. So my guess is he gave David and Dan, here's the bullet points for where all the main characters are going to end up. You guys get to decide how they get there.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the only character that that George had an issue with was probably, what's his face?
Bran?
No. Tyrion's friend died by the fire. I think that was the only character that he had a difference with. I can't remember his name now.
Is it he was, an obscure character?
He had all the little birds, and he was the spider. I can't remember what his name was. He was the eunuch. Varys, there we go.
No.
I think he was the only one that had a different outcome than George had an opinion for.
Well, regardless of the author's opinion versus...
No.
What? I'm not disagreeing with you.
No, I'm saying I have no problem with it. The only character that I'm saying could have possibly had a different outcome was Varys.
Oh. Yes, but all the characters that were focused on in the end were very much intentional to the author's outcome.
like Bran, like I have a feeling that Bran was ultimately the outcome for George.
And probably still will be.
They say season 3 poster spoiled it, because you see Ned Stark sitting on the throne, and immediately to his left on the arm of the throne is a raven looking up at him.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, we all have strong feelings about how things went, and I think we can all agree we all love the show, and we all loved the last season. I just have some unique desires that do not coincide with you guys. You don't agree with any of them.
No.
And my desires of what I wish I got more of, and you guys are completely fine with how it ended. And that's fine. That's fine.
No. I'm saying
we're allowed our own opinions.
No. I am not saying that.
I know you're not. Make your point. What's up?
What I'm saying is there are several ends that have yet to be tied up that I am totally down with them making spinoffs of.
Well,
we need to get into that into a spoiler cast, because there is a shit ton to go into, and we could probably spend 2 or 3 hours on with each character.
Shit, dude. Each character?
At least I could. Like, Brianna Tarth? I mean, Knight Brianna Tarth? Spoilers.
That was already given, Lynn. We're fine. Now, yeah, let's there's a lot of things to say. There's a lot of things to love. Like, I know I sounded like...
Even at that rate, Podrick. Come on now. I could spend a good hour on Podrick alone.
All I'm going to say is... I'm sorry, Nick or Lynn, if I feel like I brought your mood down a little bit. I wasn't trying to say anything negative on a grand scale, you know?
No. I feel like, as in Nick and I, we are entitled to our opinion. You are entitled to your opinion. And it is a great thing.
Yes.
That is what makes the world go round. I appreciate your opinion.
So
keep on trucking.
I have to say, every season of Game of Thrones has always had a moment of, like, hell yes, so happy this is happening to, like, anger, like, that person needs to die type thing. But until this season, the show has never brought a tear to my eye. But this season did that.
You're a cold-hearted bitch, man. Damn.
I'm sorry.
You never teared up at any other time.
Nope. The only thing that got me from this whole show was the knighting of Sir Brienne.
Brienne of Tarth.
I'm trying to wrap up here, but I'm just like, I'm a little, you're blowing my dick off is right now is what I'm saying.
Whoa.
That's just a vulgar way of saying you're blowing my mind. Now stop it. Stop. That hurts the ears. Fuck. This isn't even the recording. This is the live feedback I'm getting in my ear.
Okay. No, hold on. If we're blowing your dick off, the thing that got me was at the end, the very end, when she goes to the book. And she writes in every last word of Jamie's story. That is the thing that, like if you could get goosebumps and, like, oh my gosh, man, this is really tough. Is when she's writing the entire Jamie's story. All the way up until the very end.
I'm looking at you, Nick. You look like you have a problem with it.
And then she closed the book with wet ink.
Oh, dear God. The nerdy details are coming forth.
Both the page she wrote on and the page previously have her inscription on it. Come on now. That's the only thing you got to think of.
It was a beautiful moment.
Don't think of smart. That's a terrible thing. Don't think of smudges.
I'm an OCD person. So I'm sorry.
I know, and we understand that, Nick. We do here at Nerdentials.
My thing is the fact that she did the nightly thing of writing in the entire end of his story.
Yes.
All the way up until he died.
Yes, Brienne lovingly updated the Wikipedia page for Jamie.
Exactly.
Exactly. And it was a beautiful thing. You could create, like, some fans are like, oh, they just f***ed Jamie's whole story arc. He was like a hero's hold on, don't correct me. I'm making a final statement that's not an opinion. It's a fact. People were complaining. I'm not giving you my opinion, Nick. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm just making a statement that I do not need any more elaboration on. People complained, oh, Jamie's story arc is ruined because we looked like he was getting the hero's journey. He was going to finally break out of this. He got with Brienne. And then the fucking pod just... Oh, God, I'm going to have to bleep that out. Just pulled away from Brienne and made her cry to tears. And that breaks Brienne's arc because she's a knight. Why would she cry for him? I'll break it down real fast. One, it didn't break Jamie's story arc because guess what? Jamie is a person who is dealing with addiction, and his addiction is Cersei. Secondly, Brienne did not break her character from being a knighthood. She was crying not because she was sobbing for a man. She was sobbing because she knew Jamie could be a better man than Cersei ever deserves to have, and he deserves more because he is a good person at his heart. And it's a little bit of both. She was a virgin. He broke her virginity. At the same time, she's still that knighthood that she's not sobbing because woe is me, you're leaving me. Woe is you, Jamie. I'm crying for you. Don't do this. Conclusion. I gave you guys, the fans thought their story arcs were damaged. I'm agreeing with both of you guys. Their story arcs were beautifully fulfilled. Now,
I completely concur.
Okay,
with
Nick
statement.
Nick, please don't disagree with that.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
I don't hate you if you do.
One question.
Yeah.
She wrote in there the legacy of Jamie, everything that he did.
Yeah.
But did he happen to leave a little bit more legacy than we're led to believe?
Oh, with Brienne? You never know.
He was very fertile.
Not to mention, they didn't have condoms in that day, so...
That was the end of the story. No.
Here's the thing. It's all the actors, wrapping it up, all the actors are pretty much done with the series. Happy or not, they've spent 10 years with this show. They want to go do other things. And George R. R. Martin and HBO have both confirmed there's not going to be any spin-offs of the characters currently in this canon. It's all prequels. All prequels. And the most immediate series we know, a little bit of news. What we do know is the next series that has been greenlit and has currently got one pilot in production is a story that's going to take place 5,000 years prior to the Game of Thrones events. And we're going to hear about the origins of the White Walkers, the Children of the Forest, and the Golden Age of Man, leading to their Dark Ages. So 5,000 years in the past. That's the first series being greenlit. And there's a code name Blood Moon or The Long Night, which George R. R. Martin said he thinks would be perfect and loves the title, but HBO will probably have some sort of Game of Thrones moniker thrown in there next to Blood Moon. Who knows?
Throne.
It's all speculation right now. Throne. They haven't confirmed anything. But that's their feelings, and that's what we know about the future of Westeros. Or, at this point, not Westeros, Valyria.
What?
In the butt. Guys, it's time to conclude. This is a two-hour recording, probably close to an hour and a half once I cut out a few things. Guys, thanks for listening. If you've made it past the spoilers, probably only those that have already seen the show are making it to this point.
Hey, sorry, not sorry.
Guys, Nerdentials is back. We're going back to as often as we can, as far as once a week, as often as we can. We'll dive in deeper to some of the things we mentioned earlier in this episode. This has been some movie and TV talk tonight. Guys, go to nerdentialsmedia.com to follow all our shit. That's right.
And later this weekend, we are going to also be filming an episode of Nerds Destiny.
Quite possibly.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, and if you guys are into the video game Destiny, we currently have older episodes up, so go check it out.
And a clan. You can join us.
And a clan. If you guys are down with the D, Destiny.
Fuck it. Now that I gotta work at Xbox, let's go.
Alright, guys. As for me, Nick, and Lynn, this has been your Nerdy Essentials. And as always, nerds, we'll see you on the other side. Nick, gonna stay silent for this one.
I thought it'd be less convoluted.
You didn't have to.
Like it always is.
Here's the thing. Your track is separate from mine, so the only one you're going to be off of from is Lynn. Because I could sync.
Other sides, okay.
Well, there it is, guys. There you have it.